Does anybody not know what significance the term Rubicon has? Does anybody not know? If you don't know, raise your hand. A couple of you don't know what Rubicon is. Well, a brief history lesson. Rubicon's a river, or it was a river. It's been renamed in Italy, and it was the site of a very interesting confrontation between Julius Caesar and the Roman Senate. And Julius Caesar was a military commander, and he was in charge of a large army, and they told him he had to disband his army and not cross that Rubicon River. But he was a powerful figure and becoming prominent in politics, and as such they feared him and gave him that order. And he refused to obey the order. He crossed the Rubicon with his army and his command both intact, and the rest is history. He went on to rule Rome. So saying crossing the Rubicon is a term that means you've made a bold move from which there's no turning back. So now the discussion today is on immigration, both illegal and legal, guys. I was born in 1951. When I was born, the population of the United States was a little over 120 million. 8 years later, when I entered the second grade, the population was almost 151 million. That's a 30 million increase in just 8 years. By the time I graduated from high school in 1969, the population of our country then was 180 million. That's another 30 million increase in 8 to 10 years. The trend has been every 8 to 10 years, our country's population grows by another 30 million people, and that trend has not changed. Fast forward to the year 2010. The current population of our country is over 305 million persons. In other words, the population of our country is more than doubled in the 50 years between 1959 and 2010. 59, it was 150 million people. 2010, 305 plus million persons. These statistics come from the U.S. Bureau of Statistics and also from my World Book Encyclopedia in some cases, which got them from the U.S. Bureau of Statistics. 50 years, more than double the population. Another 50 years, guys, more than double the population again. If we don't do something differently, we're going to have, in the year 2060, a population between 490 and 700 million people. That's correct. If we don't do something differently, there could be almost 750 million people living right here in the good old U.S. of A. That's more than the population of China was in 1959 when I was in the second grade. It was 580 million people in China in 1959. This is stuff to think about. Can you see? And you see what happened to China's population in the 50 years since then. They're over 2 billion. We're only one generation, or two generations. We're only two generations, or 100 years behind China, right here. Ask yourselves if you want that to happen here. We don't drive rickshaws. We drive SUVs. And if you like me, you don't, then it's time we have a good discussion about immigration, both illegal and legal, and about ways that we can manage our country's population growth. I like to use the term manage because rather than the harsher sounding phrase population control, because due to shrill voices in the media, people think population control means either killing off people or limiting the amount of children they can have. And after all, who wants to be killed or controlled? I don't. That's why I'm a Republican and I believe in limited government. I don't want to be controlled. But it doesn't mean that at all, population management or control, if you will. At least it doesn't have to mean that. If we start now and begin this discussion, and if we plan wisely for the future and take steps to manage our country's population growth by limiting immigration. If we don't, it will surely mean population control of the worst sort, including limiting the size of families and even killing off people in senseless no-win wars and worldwide pandemics. Has anyone heard the word pandemic in the media lately? All it takes is courage and wisdom and the certain knowledge. If we don't, the consequences will be disastrous. Now, there are definite natural limits to the size of populations, whether they're populations of deer, elk, cougar, or human beings, before Mother Nature kicks in and takes over in the harshest of ways. Where will the increased supply of food and water come from that will be necessary to feed and hydrate 750 million people in our own country? As we continue to pave over and develop our best prime agricultural lands, one of those stories just had such an article in it where the farmland in the Willamette Valley is got competing interests. There's an aggregate company that wants to do aggregate. Well, they wouldn't need aggregate if it wasn't to make condominiums and buildings, etc. And there's competing demands. I know this might sound to some of you like I'm a liberal, but I am not a liberal. I'm looking into the future, and I'm telling you what's going to happen if we don't get smart real quick. The 750 million people that we're going to have in our own country as we continue to pave over and develop our agricultural land, which is, by the way, the same place that these folks want to live, in the same area where we can grow our food. We can't grow food, and most people don't want to live on the top of a mountain. So we have limited land to begin with. So these conflicting demands for our best land, they're food or housing. They're farms or condominiums. They're self-sufficiency on these matters, food and energy, or foreign dependency for both food and energy. In our country, only 30 to 45% of our land, in our country, 30 to 45% of our land is mountains and deserts. There's only so much arable land. So we're bumping up against our natural limits already. As our population continues to grow unchecked, we're finding that we can no longer feed the whole world, which is what happened when I was a child, and house the whole world at the same time. You'd think that'd be obvious. We can't expand our population and our agricultural productivity indefinitely, forever. You'd think that would be obvious also, but common sense doesn't prevail. There are natural limits, both on food and water resources and on the size of populations. And why would we ever want to even approach those natural limits? There are quality of life issues to consider as well that accompany unrestricted growth. What drives most of us, what drives this most is not common sense, it's dollars and cents. With increased population growth come all of the associated evils we're going to have to deal with. With more congestion, I'll call it cramming or stuffing, like sardines in a can or chickens in a coop, human beings are crowded into high-density urban housing developments. They're crammed in one next to the other, and there is more stress in our society. Anxiety, medications prescribed to control this stress. Drugs wind up in our streams and reservoirs, affecting all of us, not just the fish. There's increased pollution, disease, increase in crime, criminal behavior, which necessitates increased law enforcement and police powers. There are more restrictions on our personal freedoms, more rules, more laws, and, of course, more government regulations, and then bigger government to make all of them. More cops to enforce them, more jails to imprison those that break them. So I hope you guys understand about natural limits. We're coming face to face with our own. Why would anyone want to increase the size of this population in this country to the point that it strains our own natural limits? The question is, what is that point? That's the question. Why would anyone want to be like China or India and go through the same problems that they're having to go through? Our country's outdated policies on immigration, both illegal and legal, need to begin to consider the changing conditions in our borders, within our borders. But that's the bad news. The good news is, at least for us in the United States, there doesn't have to be limits restricting the size of our families, like China has instituted or had instituted. I don't think they're very effective. Our population isn't growing because Americans are having too many children. Our population is growing because for over 200 years, we have been accepting the world's overflowing population from other countries in Europe, Asia, and Africa. Our population is only growing, people, because of immigration, both illegal and legal. All we have to do to get control of our population is stop illegal immigration altogether and put sensible restrictions on legal immigration. Illegal immigration is a no-brainer. I don't even know why I have to talk about that. It doesn't take a rocket scientist either to realize that just as easily as troops can be positioned on our border to stop the flow of illegals, drugs, and crime coming into the country, they can just as easily be removed. No party has had the political will to deploy the troops to the border in enough numbers and keep them there for long enough to get the job done. And even if they did, as soon as the troops were removed, what do you think would happen? The immigration flood would start all over again. The troops on our border are not the answer. I'm sorry. We need a solution that, once done, cannot be so easily undone. For now, the only thing that satisfies these concerns is a combination of a low-tech but impregnable security fence. From one end of the border at Brownsville, Texas, all the way to the other end at San Diego, California, and backed up by the Border Patrol, plus a high-tech electronic security barrier, including cameras, lasers, and motion and vibration sensors. A wall like this, once built, if we can muster the political courage to build it, will, for that very same reason, not be so easily taken down. And more importantly, it will be able to get the job done. If we can find the courage to build the wall, we'll probably have the courage to keep it up until the job is done. And the conditions change, if they ever do, in Mexico and Central America. That's where the problem comes from. And I'm ad-libbing here. They need to stay home and fix their own country as we do ours. And I'm not being, what's the word, bigoted. I don't have a thing against Mexicans or anybody in Central and South America. But they have problems to tend to in their own countries. This wall should have a plaque on it if anyone feels guilty about the concept of putting a wall. And that plaque should read as follows. This wall is built in honor of all those immigrants who've come to this country legally over the years, and in loving memory of all those others who've died over the years as a result of those who have not. There's nothing to feel guilty about putting a wall up. It's an eyesore. I give you that. Put the wall up and explain its significance, why we're doing it, or we're going to die. Our culture will fade away. We're going to be overtaken, and we're not going to have a country, When I say die, I don't mean individually. I mean this culture that we've built and we see dissipating in front of our eyes. Because there's not enough of us in the world to maintain it. The only thing that maintains our culture is our wisdom and a wall. For now. Hopefully one day conditions change in Mexico and Central America and all over the world. We're a nation of immigrants. Yes, we are. And we'll always be a nation of immigrants. No one can ever take that away from us. Least of all, and especially, those nations of the world that have traditionally been unfriendly toward immigration. Who, by the way, are the same nations that are responsible for the world's population explosion. It's not us. By that, I'm referring to, starting off with, China, India, the countries of Africa, Latin America, and Mexico. Yes, Mexico, our friend on the border. Mexico has troops positioned on their southern border. Guys, you heard that before. And that's to prevent Guatemalans and anybody else in Central America, Hondurans, Costa Ricans, though they're likely not to go to Mexico because they got a decent country, and everybody else in Latin America from going to Mexico. Hello? Mexico doesn't want us doing that here. I won't be lectured to about my immigration policy by a country whose own immigration policy is stricter than ours. None of these other nations have any business criticizing our immigration policies at all. And Mr. Felipe Calderon has absolutely no business coming to this country and chastising our Congress over our immigration laws when his own country's laws are far more restrictive than ours. He should fix his own country's problems before coming over here and telling us how to fix ours. Don't try to pull out... Does anybody know where I'm going to go with this? Don't try to pull out the mote in our eyes until you first cast out the beam from your own. And after he's done this and fixed all of his own country's problemos, and corrected his own flawed immigration law and demographic nightmare, he should probably rather still keep his mouth shut when he comes to my country and not offer up any advice on how to fix our problems unless it's asked for. That asking too much from a neighbor? We're a nation of immigrants. And we'll always be a nation of immigrants. But we don't always have to continue to allow such massive numbers of immigration, unrestricted immigration, into our country forever. Or do we? Because we've done so in the past is simply not enough reason to continue to do it into the future. And if we took action to severely curtail it or to stop it altogether for a time, that would not detract one bit from our nation's history of welcoming people into our country. The words on the Statue of Liberty read, "Give me your tired, your poor, huddled masses yearning to breathe free." For over 200 years, we have welcomed immigrants from all over the world into our country. So with all due respect to the Statue of Liberty and to the author of that verse that's inscribed on it, there's another verse far older than that one that says, "There's a time for everything and for every purpose." And I want to say right now that the time for massive, unrestricted immigration into our country is over. We're not a vast, unsettled, undeveloped continent anymore. And it's way past time that we acknowledge that in our immigration policies. To have policies that reflect the changing conditions within our borders. We cannot afford to take the world's huddled masses anymore. There's nowhere to put them but in already crowded cities. We live in Eugene. It ain't so crowded here, but I'm sure some of you noticed the traffic jams. Most people wouldn't immigrate to Eugene, however. But this county, when I moved here, I'm living here, used to have a very relaxed lifestyle, which I moved here for. And I live way out in the country. But I'm seeing that slowly disappearing as I watch bumper after bumper of traffic going up and down the McKenzie Highway. And I can't even get off the bridge onto the highway. Sometimes. So, there's nowhere to put them but in already crowded cities to tax our already limited resources. Enough is enough, and we need to put our foot down once and for all. So, I say to Europe and Asia and Africa, China, Mexico, Central and South America, keep your tired, huddled masses. Give them the freedom they yearn for right there in your own country. Does that sound nasty? I don't think so. Give them the freedom they yearn for and give us back our Purple Mountains majesties, our fruited plains. Manage your own country's population better. My country's not a dumping ground for yours, for your problems or its excess population. We won't do it anymore. Grow up and become responsible members of the world community. It's time you did. And while you're at it, stop blaming America for everything gone wrong in the world. Cast the beam out of your own eye before you try to take the mote out of ours. Stop taking advantage of us. It's the first step in learning to get along with us. And for us, it's time for us to find the courage to do the tough thing, to find the resolve to go against world public opinion and build that wall. It won't get any easier if we wait. We've waited long enough, and it's time to cross the Rubicon. I know this is probably not what you expected to hear on immigration, but as I said, illegal immigration, that's a no-brainer. Now, what about the tough stuff that needs to get done? So, in the words of an American patriot and hero, let's roll.